Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nine o'clock hour prize, $25 to the Ainsworth. We give stuff away at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock just for listening. The next time you hear this drop,
I'm not a genius.
He said for all of us.
Yeah.
Be caller number.
I'll go with caller number 17.
Low, I was going to say, should be a low number for non-geniuses.
No, I think caller 17. No, 17 works,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Caller 17 and 913-576-7610. You're going to win yourself $25 to the Ainsworth just for listening. The rumors are out there once again. Tis the season, right? We're getting towards the hot stove portion.
You'll have
of the,
to be more specific yes, about rumors.
We're getting to the hot stove portion of the baseball season. The winter meetings are just around the corner.
Next week, I think. Yeah.
And
are
guess
you going?
Who's no, I'm not. And guess who's in demand once again?
Let me guess. It would be Whit Merrifield.
Yes.
Of course, Whit's available. Not available. I shouldn't say that. That's bad. Of course, Whit is being talked about as being available.
Because guess what? I keep seeing stories about how Whit Merrifield will fit in on this
roster.
He'll fit roster,
in on any roster, roster, right?
This roster and that roster. Because, of course, yes, he will. Because, yes, you take a 300 hitter who steals bases, who hits for average, you can play a whole ton of positions and has some pop and does all those great things that Whit Merrifield does for the Royals. Yes, it would fit into each and every particular lineup. But the Cubs, the latest one, apparently, according to the rumor mill, that they're, quote, showing interest in Whit Merrifield.
And here's my thought what we is, need to do. We need to have them. We need to have like a tote board or a whiteboard with every team's name. And when we hear that team
interest,
say interest
yes,
in
no.
Whit Merrifield, we just
yes.
check the yes, yes box.
Yes.
Because I think by the time the winter meetings come to a halt, which is going to be, they're going to be next week after Thanksgiving. So say around the 10th, let's use the 10th of December. By the time we get to the end of those winter meetings, every team probably would have said they are interested in Whit Merrifield and they would be interested in trading for Whit Merrifield. And I hate to say this because sometimes it comes off as hyperbolic, but I don't know how else to say this. He's like the most versatile player in baseball right now, Josh. And I don't want to use the term that he's the best player in baseball because he's not. I mean, there's Mike Trout. There's other guys out there, right? But how many players can do what Whit Merrifield can do in Major League Baseball? And what I mean by that is play every position, hit you 300, give you a little pop, steal a bunch of bases, and put butts in the seats. How many people can do that in Major League Baseball right now? There's not a lot of those guys. I just named five tools that I just made up that Whit Merrifield has, right? That guy is that good. And so he would be the perfect fit on every team in Major League Baseball. Whether it's the Yankees or the Dodgers or the cheating Astros or whoever the case may be, Whit Merrifield would be a perfect fit on that team because every day he can do something different and he can play a different position and he can give this guy a day off and that guy a day off. He can be your leadoff hitter. He can get on base. He can swipe a bag. He can knock in a run. He can go the opposite way. He can make a play in the outfield. He can make like this guy is the most versatile guy, I think, right now in Major League Baseball. And that's why the Royals are looking at it and going, all right, if you want Whit Merrifield, we need like three proven Major League Baseball players, not guys that have had a cup of coffee, not guys that have, you know, scratched themselves in September and spit out
a
sunflower seed. We need proven Major League players, whether that's a starting pitcher, a star relief pitcher, somebody who's going to fill in and do something that Whit Merrifield did, like Ian Happ is the name that's being rumored in the centerpiece. If the Cubs were to make an offer,
which I
for him,
really don't like. It sounds like
it's like a poor man's Whit Merrifield.
Yes, he's got some upside. Don't get me wrong, but plays a bunch of positions.
He's only 25 years old, and he's got
younger.
The nickname of Happer. So I mean, that's
I
mean, good.
I like that portion of it, but I'm like, well, why would they be trading him if it sounds like he could be Whit at some point in time in the near future?
Like, from a Royals standpoint, unless somebody is going to break the bank, or as we said earlier, knock your socks off, and we've never seen socks knocked off of anybody in real life. Why would you even consider trading Whit Merrifield unless you're going to get back in return three proven big leaguers? And I would think, in my opinion, Josh, one of them's got to be a starting pitcher.
Yes.
Maybe I'm asking for too much, and no, I don't know the market, but I'm thinking one of them's got to be a starting pitcher.
You can ask whatever you want. I don't really care what the market is. Like, if I don't want to part with anything other than this, you're more than free to ask for it, aren't you? And that's what mine would be. I only want somebody I can plug in my rotation. Like, I think the term is ready or near major league ready, right? So I mean, they could be in the market.
No,
for
I think major league ready. I don't think we're near anything.
You're saying major league ready,
yeah,
is ready, not necessarily
like
established.
That's played up here. That's the major league baseball player.
Okay,
three major league players in return. They're not going to take a double A guy.
Okay. That's a heavy price, but you can ask for it, and I certainly would include a pitcher in there. Yes, for sure, because you're still going to need some pitching.
Why wouldn't you ask for that? Like, you want Whit? Fine, give us three major league players now. Oh, well, no. Okay, then he's not available.
I feel like that price tag is going to scare people off, but I'm fine with it.
That's fine, then. I don't care.
That's your price tag, and I'm good with that.
Sometimes you set your price tag high so you do scare people off.
Because you don't really want to
sell. And then if they pay it, you're like, oh, okay.
Wow, I'm pleasantly surprised by this.
You know, like you put your house on the market, you overprice it, you think you're probably going to scare some people off, but if somebody bites and gives you that money, hey, then you're a win, right? That's kind of what they're doing with Whit Merrifield right now. Give me three major league players. No. Well, then he's not available.
But I also don't want three major league players to include a poor man's him.
Right.
It's like I'm not really interested in that.
And in return, we got this guy, and a poor man's Whit Merrifield.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in that.
No, thank you.
Not really interested.
I don't need Ian Happ.
I don't feel like the market is there for me to say yes. I think he's too valuable for what he does. He does too many things. He brings you to the ballpark, right? We still need some carrots to bring us to the ballpark. Whit Merrifield is one of those. He's good with the fans. He's a fan favorite. All those things, I think, make him valuable beyond even his fantastic stats. So I would set that price tag really high. If somebody meets it, then you still have to consider it. But most teams probably are going to go, oh, and that's the end of their phone call.
And that's the end of that.
If somebody then comes back with, is this what you had in mind? You could at least look at it and approach it that way. But for me, it's going to be pretty tough to move. But
now, if they're going to throw in Kyle Hendricks in the deal, and he's tied up and under contract through the 2023 season, 4 years, $55.5 million, you know, okay.
Some of those things are worth listening to. You're going to see a bunch of articles though written how Whit fits in, because he does. He fits in with every team.
Every team in baseball, he's a perfect fit for.
Ernest in KC Mo wins $25 to the Ainsworth. That was our 9 o'clock hour prize just for listening. You can do your job. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Chiefs back to practice today. Normally, Tuesday is the players' day off, right, in a quote-unquote normal week. But since they're coming off the bye week, they've had their extra rest.
Oh, Andy gets an extra day to prepare for the Raiders,
they're
too.
Back on the practice field today. So there will be Tuesday practice today for the Chiefs, unlike the quote-unquote normal week. But since they've had the bye week, they're back at it. Andy was back in the office yesterday, chipper and spry and looking ready to go.
What do you think he did over the bye week? I know he got out of town for a few days, but like, what do you think he does when he's out of town? Do you think he can take his mind off of football?
I mean, I think once he gets in that Hawaiian shirt, I think he can let loose a little bit. So, I mean, the bye week's got to have a Hawaiian shirt or two in it, not just the red jacket.
Right. It's a full week of Hawaiian shirts. What do you mean?
But what do you do once you put the Hawaiian shirt on?
You don't have to do anything in the Hawaiian shirt.
Take your feet back, relax, get that lawn chair out.
You don't have to do anything.
Do you just sit? I mean, like, I don't know, go to the downtown area.
Put your feet up.
Like, you know, just relax. I don't know.
Have some barbecue.
So a drink with an umbrella in it?
No, he's not that way, though. He doesn't, you know.
Well, I mean, it could be a lemonade. I don't know.
That's true, yeah.
It could be anything. Everything's better with the umbrella in it.
It really is. Yeah, it really is.
So, no, I think.
Have a nice meal.
What do you do? You don't have to do a damn thing. Just put on the Hawaiian shirt and sit.
It's okay to sit and just kind of watch the waves come in and crash.
Yes, I think so.
He probably plays Madden. He's probably one of those people.
I don't see Andy playing video games.
I don't either.
I think he draws up a play or two on a cocktail napkin, but, you know, that's
I could
fine.
See Sean McVay playing video games. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think he goes for a stroll along the beach? Yeah. Like, what do you do in your bye week? The real question is, he took executive airshare, right?
Well, if he's playing his cards right, yes. Yeah,
absolutely.
He did not wait.
Hey, flying commercial.
He did not wait in the TSA line.
He's not getting on Spirit.
KCI, no. No Spirit.
What would you do if Andy was like getting patted down to go through security? Would you just die? I think it would be hysterical to see, like.
No, if he's living right, there's a plane waiting for him.
Right.
Yes.
If you had the means, like if I had unlimited income, mm-hmm. which I think most famous people do, unless they get stupid and spend it all. But if I had unlimited means, the one thing that I would always do, I would make sure to fly private.
Oh, for sure.
Like that would be on top of the list. Yeah. It wouldn't be like buy an elaborate house or cars or anything. Like it'd be, I'm flying private when I can.
Plane at your disposal at any time would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. To get to where you want to go and back.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day.
I mean, I've been all in favor of teleportation technology.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that fully developed because I think that would you'd pay whatever, just if I could just go and I'm somewhere.
I'm on the same boat with you.
I think that would be awesome. But I understand the next best thing at this point in time would be to have some type of private plane at your disposal.
Wouldn't that be like the coolest thing to do? Like I was talking to somebody the other day whose kid plays college sports and it was like, yeah, you know, every once in a while, they had access to a private jet. They would be able to fly down, watch the game, fly home, not have to miss work, not have to miss what was going on. You just fly in, fly out, and do your thing. You really can't do that commercially speaking, right?
Correct.
You could. I mean, I've done Chicago in a day or something like that. But if you're really going somewhere far away, that's less than like an hour flight. It's hard to do that, especially with the lack of service that Kansas City has to all these places. You got to connect through 18 different places to get anywhere. So. Hopefully, if I were to hit the lottery and have unlimited funds, that would be the top of my list.
Yeah,
what would you do with all that money? Fly private.
Because I've only done that like once, maybe twice.
Oh, yeah. You have Mr. Big Time over here. Right?
But a couple weeks ago, I lived that life.
I've never seen anything in front of row 18E.
I lived that life for a second, and it was awesome. It took me longer to drive from Lawrence back home than it did to fly from Stillwater to Lawrence and Lawrence to Stillwater.
Did it really?
Yes. The flight to get down to play Oklahoma State and back on the private plane.
Oh, you flew private both ways?
Yes. Was faster than it took me to drive home. It was awesome. And I'm like, man.
This is the Blue Valley lifestyle
we
got
here. It's
like 42 minutes.
Wow. That's wow.
Were you on like a Learjet?
I interviewed.
Prop job?
I interviewed, because I was like, I interviewed Coach Miles at 2:38. Okay. So did the post-game interview with Coach. Got done, 2:40-ish, whatever. A couple-minute interview. We were wheels up at 3:15.
Wow.
In Stillwater.
How close is the
airport? It was pretty close. And then landed in my car at 4. I was like, wow, you could really live a really good, not just a good, like, sports life, a really good life. Of just travel, whatever, if you had that kind of money to have that at your disposal.
What do you think, like, that costs?
I don't want to know or ask.
Did you have to pay?
I did not.
Oh, by the way, I just got a message from KU. You did not get paid for that.
Yeah, day. Probably not. That's fine. That's fine. I did two games one day.
So true.
It was great. It was great.
Please inform Josh his salary has been denied.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely fine.
Did you get a meal on these flights?
There were snacks. There were snacks.
Dried or?
They were dry snacks, yes.
In-flight movie?
There's not time.
Yeah, time.
What did you do on that flight? Who were you with?
Well, like, I was prepping for the second game. Okay. Is what I was doing on the way. A
couple of
back,
cocktails.
So. No.
Any Merlot on that plane?
Did not do that. But you could really, that would be worth the investment. To like buy into one of those.
Any Cabernet Sauvignon?
No. To buy into one of those like air share.
Yeah.
I think would be well worth it.
The problem is that's expensive. Well, I don't have that kind of cash.
Yes, I'm sure it's like ridiculous.
I had one person tell me years ago, and I won't say who, you ought to buy into a private jet. I'm like, I work in radio. What kind of income do you think I have?
No. Couldn't
it's only like $20,000 down. And then I'm like, again have we just met?
Yeah.
Are you new here?
I was talking to somebody like you could call a lot of ball games around the country if you had this at your disposal. I mean, you'd still owe money at the end of it.
Yeah.
You couldn't work enough gigs to pay for it.
You could call a lot.
But you'd be still in debt.
Sure.
When you paid for the airfare.
But I think that's like the ultimate rich guy boss move is to have the private jet.
Sure.
Like
for
there's
sure.
nothing better than
so
being
yes,
able
if
to
I'm,
do that.
If I'm Andy, I'm that's that's part of my gig.
That's part of my contract. Like, yeah. Would you take less money up front to have access to the private? I think I would too.
Yeah. If I'm Andy, I'm like, I lop a
mill off. Just give me the private jet when I need it.
Yeah.
I'll get to Philadelphia and back in a night. Nobody will ever know. And it's like 3 days later, people will complain.
Yeah, we'll run out there for a Hall of Fame ceremony in Pittsburgh and be back before practice starts.
Right.
We'll be fine.
Nobody will ever know.
Or before bedtime. Yeah. Really. I mean, he didn't miss any time by jumping on a plane and doing it. So, it'd be crazy.
It's just convenient that way. And, you know, time is money. Time is money. And you save all kinds of time and money by not wasting your time at the airport.
But my great idea is teleportation. It's great that Elon Musk has a triangle truck or whatever the
what heck is he was, that thing whatever that the heck is coming he was out debuting is that real?
Yes, whatever he was debuting this past week, the triangle truck where the window broke and whatever had a kind of a bad unveiling of that thing.
It started off bad.
Teleportation is where it's at. I can't emphasize that enough.
It'd be sick.
We saw it on Star Trek, and occasionally, like a person disappeared, but that might happen. But. Just to be able to go,
would you be the first test subject for that?
I don't think so.
But that's what makes that Hyperloop so intriguing. I think I want to work out.
I don't want the driverless car to be the first one of that, nor a driverless car, period. But
Tesla already.
But if you were to just be able to go wherever you want by just like entering like a phone booth, let's just say it looks like a phone booth.
Like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, somebody just and you're out and you're wherever you need to be. I'm not saying through time. I think in real time is fine. But like, if you're like, you know what would be cool right now? See what's up in Maui. Let's go drop by the Maui Invitational for a game tonight and just enter the phone booth.
Maui may be a little far to do that.
And you're there. I mean, there's no price tag you could put on that.
Well, here's a good one from the 816. I don't know if this is a braggadocious one on you or if this is just sharing a story. Either way, I like it. I flew home from Vegas over the summer. Andy Reid was sitting next to me in first class.
I bet that was fun.
Did you talk to him? I got to find out. What was that? Because that's about a three-hour flight. What was the conversation like?
What was he?
Why don't you run the ball more, Coach?
He was sitting next to him in first class?
It says next to me in first class.
Wow, yeah, it did definitely strike a conversation. If you weren't coach and he was in first class, you wouldn't. But if
you're sitting next to the man,
you're kind of peers at that point.
At that point, that's a good point. Yeah, you are peers.
airline peer is a thing.
Yeah, if you're
there are coach
next
people,
to
there are first class people, and if you're in first class, you're in first class with them. That'd be great,
Yeah, you're peers.
Your airline peers, if only for a flight.
Back in the day when I was living in Texas, I would fly a lot to get out of there for whatever reason. It was TWA at the time, and they used to always sell like these first class upgrades for like $50 at the gate. That's a good deal. If you can upgrade yourself for $50, you go ahead.
Seems worth it.
And do that. There was one time when we were coming back from the AFC playoff game in Massachusetts a couple years ago. I had the opportunity to pay $50 for my bag fee. Or pay $25 to upgrade to first class and get the bag free for why would I pay $50 for the bag?
No, just take my bag. I'll sit coach
for half the price. So like sometimes you can find those deals where you upgrade. And one time I had Emmett Smith sitting in front of me on one of those $50 upgrades, and I didn't really talk.
Did
to
you kick
him.
A seat the entire
no,
time?
No, I didn't. That'd
be funny if you would have like that'd be like the screaming baby. That'd be you, Bob.
I don't scream. I just sit. But for $50, if you can get an upgrade or something like that, that's great. But I mean. Have that private jet and have the ability to go where you want, when you want. That's the number one move if you win the lottery.
And that's why I think I look and see Patrick Mahomes at every stinking event. I'm like, well, yeah, it's pretty easy.
Easy to get there.
It's pretty easy to get there. He can just pop up at every sporting event or award show and everything.
Not for him just yet.
Oh, no, he's part of that.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Not for him or what?
Well, he hasn't got paid yet.
No, but he's part of the plane thing.
Oh, the executive airship.
Yeah.
He's in on that.
Oh, yeah, he's in on that.
Oh, that's a big
for
deal.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
I wish I had money like that.
He hasn't got paid yet. He's flying that.
Yeah, that's part of his deal now. I get the exact. All right, we don't have to pay you yet. You can fly. Okay, fine.
Any Ravens left to grab? We'll chat with Paul Charchi at fanball.com next.
Fesco in the morning.
Your teleportation stuff is going off the rails. I got a message from our friend, the former Fat Mahomes.
Uh-huh.
He says, remind Kling that sometimes an evil version of yourself gets beamed back seconds later in teleportation. We're seeing it on the text line as well.
Yeah, someone else said it too, that the disintegration and then the reconstruction might not be. I'm saying we got to work on the technology a little bit, but
People are trying to poke holes in this
thing. Seems worth that. Well, that's why probably we don't have it yet.
Shutting it down already.
I don't know why you're putting limits on teleportation.
I think you have to. I mean, Paul Charchian of fanball.com with us here on 610 Sports Radio. If you could teleport yourself back to the preseason, who would you draft number one overall
I
in your fantasy draft?
Works.
Yeah, well, if I could, I think at this point it'd have to be probably Christian McCaffrey because I'd have to take him in the first round, but then just make sure you get Lamar Jackson, right? I'll remind listeners, he went off the board as quarterback 15 in fantasy drafts.
Wow.
15. Guys like Jared Goff were going before him. That's how much people didn't think that he could pass and even thought that he was a threat to lose his job. It's, as a consensus, fantasy owners couldn't have been more wrong about him. And he's the guy who's powering everybody into the playoffs right now, which has been amazing.
And they were all basing
Go
ahead. No, I was going to say, they're all basing that losing his job, as you mentioned, going into the regular season based on the fact that he played poorly in that playoff game against the Chargers. Who were the Ravens going to start? Bob Griffin?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was talk that, it might come to that if he couldn't figure out the passing part of the equation. And he did. He looked terrible in that game. And, nothing that he did on the field last year suggested he would automatically be a much better passer this season. You just hoped he would get better in year two. But there are a lot of players that don't get better in year two. Look at Baker Mayfield, for example. So, you couldn't necessarily have known. Still, it's been an unbelievable transformation. Hey, by the way, speaking of teleportation.
Yes, of course.
This is a true science fact for you. Scientists have teleported an atom. Now, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, and, the human body is consisted of, billions of atoms.
Sure.
So it's going to take a while before we're, teleporting people around. But science has actually done a teleportation. But my understanding is it took, the energy of a small city to teleport one atom from, 1 foot. So we're still a little ways away on the teleportation, I think.
So what you're saying is Josh was probably going to be dead. We'll all be dead before they get this thing figured out,
shouldn't hold out
right?
hope of this.
But when I was a kid, and I'm not that old, I thought that we would have colonies on the moon by now, right? I mean, they were walking on the moon 50 years ago. How come we don't have a hotel there yet? You'd think, why did we just give up on the moon? You'd think we'd be in space by now. That's the thing that I think is most disappointing.
Because
we haven't advanced that.
There's nothing there, Charge.
Well, there is that. I mean, but the novelty of it would be interesting. I mean, listen, people go to, Tucson, there's nothing there either.
Yeah, but there's nice weather.
I guess there's that. But, I just think I had assumed that by the time I died, I'd have a chance to be on the moon and, go hit a golf ball like Neil Armstrong did. Mm-hmm. I think it was Neil Armstrong that hit the golf ball. I just, that stuff's disappointing. We were told there'd be jetpacks.
Well, look, the Jetsons told us a lot of things that didn't come true, okay?
That is true.
Or those sprockets.
Do I have Rosie? Do I have Rosie to fulfill my needs around the house?
See, I know everybody likes Jane, his wife, but I was always kind of attracted to Rosie.
Listen, Rosie will do whatever you tell her to do, and that is an attractive trait in anybody.
It really is. All right, now we're going to tell you. Are there any Ravens left to tell us to pick up this
week?
Are there
any Ravens left?
No, we're tapped out of Ravens, but we do have a bunch of good pickup opportunities on the waiver wire. It's a stronger waiver wire week than many, beginning with two guys at the quarterback position, Sam Darnold, who is only, over the last 3 weeks, he's only been outscored by Lamar Jackson for fantasy points, and he's got two crazy soft matchups coming up, Bengals and Dolphins, over the next 2 weeks. So we've been talking about Sam Darnold for a while now, still available in 82% of leagues,
wow.
So you can go get Sam Darnold. Andy Dalton, rostered in only 5% of leagues. He comes back this week and faces a very easy matchup as he goes up against the Jets, and then later on he gets the Browns in Miami. A reminder, by the way, and how Bengals is this? They benched Andy Dalton at a time in which he led the NFL in completions, so they could go experiment with Ryan Finley to try to save their season. Ha! Ha! That's the Bengals right there.
But I don't necessarily have a problem with that, though. I mean, you're sitting at 0-1, whatever you are. You clearly aren't going to. Why not see what you have? It's almost like a free season, right?
Well, okay, I'll grant you that. But if you're going to go that route, then why not trade Andy Dalton to, like, the Bears?
Yeah, that's right? A fair point.
The trade deadline,
right?
For sure.
And go get some equity. Go get some equity for a rebuilding team if that's your approach. And they didn't do that either. Rashad Penny is probably the hottest pickup of the week this week for the Seahawks. Chris Carson fumbles a couple of times in the game. Then in the second half, it's all Rashad Penny as he rumbles for 130 yards on 14 carries. So he's the hot pickup for sure at the running back position. And then there's a couple other guys that I think you might want to touch on as well. People always looking for tight ends. Ryan Griffin. Jack Doyle for the Colts, now that Eric Ebron is on IR, will get all of those Colts tight end receptions. And if you combine Ebron and Doyle into one guy, you'd have a top five fantasy tight end. So Doyle is a prospect as well. And David Njoku and Delanie Walker coming back from injury.
As we get set for the playoffs and fantasy football coming down the stretch, are there any secrets you have in setting a lineup?
Well, I don't know if it's setting a lineup necessarily, but you know, for the playoffs, you definitely want to change your whole roster format from being a team of depth that can survive bye weeks to a team that just kicks ass with its starting roster. So you start dropping those middling players that you only needed for a bye week or for an emergency fill-in, and you start getting guys like Tony Pollard and Alexander Mattison, you know, these key backup players that would potentially be top 10 style running backs especially. And you want to make sure, you know, you should have two quarterbacks. If anything happens, your quarterback. So, you know, you start playing for emergency bye week fill-in help as emergencies to starters with your backups mostly.
We're done with the bye weeks, right? They're all over now.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah, perfect. Bye weeks are over. So yeah, we don't have to sweat those crappy guys that we've been trolling out just to try to get us to 50 yards.
Well, I've been doing good.
Accidentally playing somebody who's not playing.
I'm 9-3 this year, so I've massaged my roster a lot.
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Wow.
Of course, I didn't draft my team, but that's why I'm doing well. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I absolutely am. Yeah.
You're playoff bound.
Speaking of trying to get to 50 yards, which running back is most likely to get to 50 yards for the Chiefs this week?
I'm going to go with LeSean McCoy. I think this is the week for him. I think Damian Williams is a little bruised and banged up.
Yeah,
I don't know if he'll play.
So, that's got to be LeSean McCoy,
I would think McCoy.
But they'll probably run for 30 yards total. They ran for 31. They ran for 31 the last time against the Raiders, so we'll see if they do any more than that this go around.
Let's hope so. And Tyreek Hill, we think he's going
to play.
Do we have any data points yet on this?
Yeah, he'll play. He's fine. Right. He would have gone back in the game on Monday night had that not been a goat pasture out there on that field, you know?
Well, here's the thing, though. These hamstring injuries, you never know, and you can't always trust players to do a self-diagnosis on that. We saw that here in Minnesota when Adam Thielen wanted to come back into the game, in which he got knocked out, and he hasn't been back for a month now. So sometimes you just don't know with the hamstrings. They're so tricky.
Yo, you're right about that. Like barring something happening this week that, you know, we're not thinking about, he should be a go on Sunday.
Yeah, good. That's what we want to hear.
What are you drafting in your fantasy Thanksgiving meal? What's the number one pick?
I'll tell you my bottom pick. It's the pumpkin pie.
Oh, you got to be kidding!
We hate the pumpkin pie. Listen, there's so many ways to get the pumpkin pie wrong. Here's the thing. You know, it's one thing if you're going to go like get a store bought, professionally made pumpkin pie from a bakery.
Costco.
For the love of God, don't try to make a pumpkin pie, listeners, and especially all the men listeners out there. You get a pumpkin pie wrong, it's squashy, it's runny, it's mealy, it's awful. You can it could be so wrong that the possible outcomes of the pumpkin pie go from disaster to greatness, and I don't trust most of our listening audience to get that right. You know who was sad that you showed up to Thanksgiving with an apple pie? Nobody ever, because the apple pie is easy and it's awesome. That's why we love the apple pie. The pumpkin pie, far, far too much room for error.
So you're passing on the pumpkin pie.
Hell no, especially if Josh is making it. I don't want any part of that.
Josh ain't making anything. So what's your number one pick? What's your number one pick? And your sleeper.
My number one Thanksgiving pick would I'm well done, right? I'm going to take the stuffing because you only get it once a year.
I'm with you.
Literally any day of the year, I get stuffing one day of the year. Done right, stuffing is awesome.
Yep.
You guys, what is your number one pick?
My number one pick is the stuffing. My mother has a great recipe for that, and I've started to make it with the kids now. It's really good, and I'm with you. You get it once a year, and so you abuse it once a year.
Stovetop's available all year long, and it's
not
great.
For 89 cents a box.
It's fantastically terrific.
What's your sleeper?
No, it's not even remotely terrific. And by the way, the yam is disgusting. Here's the thing about the yam. People are like, oh, I like the yam. You know why you like the yam? Because you just buried it in a sea of butter and sugar.
Right.
Listen, if you put a butter and sugar on anything, people will eat it. You poop anything. So, to me, the yam is disgusting. It's a disgusting vegetable that people only troll out once a year, and for good reason. And I'm not going to try to fake out my beloved family by feeding them a yam with a bunch of butter and sugar. Forget it.
All right. Fair enough.
Church, we covered it all, I think.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
Have a good Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you next
Thanks,
week.
My friends. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Take care. Paul Charchian of Fanball.com with us here on 610 Sports Radio.
Wanted to be on the moon. We have our sleeper Thanksgiving picks. And there are no Ravens left.
Yeah, stuffing is the number one pick. Number one pick.
I love box stuffing. Can't help it.
Have you ever eaten it raw?
No.
Okay.
No. It's got a no. Nah. It's like grape nuts.
Yeah. You put some milk over that.
Yeah, it's disgusting. Still plenty to gain. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Can you just share something you just read?
I am going to, and I am aggravated about it because, like, it's like the rich just keep getting richer, you know? Bill Belichick has been part of the NFL 100 show on ESPN. I don't know how much of that you've actually caught
here and there,
Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
He's been part of the panel. And Karen Gerhugian, or whatever, however you pronounce her, Patriots beat columnist for the Boston Herald, tweets out this just now, hot off the presses.
Okay.
Bill Belichick said his work on the NFL 100 show, doing the research, has made him a better coach. Quote, it was very educational, informative, and motivating. Son of a gun. Why? Why couldn't, like, it somebody like, else do that?
Of all people, like, nothing wastes his time. Like, he takes something out of everything, it seems.
Well, that's why he's a successful individual.
That there is nothing that's like, other than the press conferences, there is nothing... No part of his life that's wasted except for the press conferences, which that's why he has no time for them. Because
they're a waste of time.
He's got productive things to get to.
Like, well, I mean, we've talked a lot of Bill Belichick this morning, and a lot of it stems from this comment that he made.
You can go all the way back to a few hundred years B.C. Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Attack weaknesses, utilize strengths, and figure out what the strengths are on your team. There's some things you have to protect. Find the weaknesses of your opponent. And attack. You can't win a war by digging a hole. You got to attack. So you have to figure out where you want to attack, how you want to attack, and that changes week to week, game to game.
And that's Bill Belichick's philosophy on how he coaches. He goes back all the way sans zoo. It means he doesn't have a zoo, and looks at about attacking.
Without zoo. Without that is zoo. Translation to that, yes.
Attacking weaknesses and utilizing strengths. And, I mean, he simplifies it really to the nth degree right there. By doing that, but then you see about being on that NFL 100 show and how he used that to become a better football coach and his motivation and research and all kinds of stuff. Like, Bill Belichick never ceases to amaze me, and I know we have this, and we're supposed to hate Bill Belichick, and I understand we're supposed to hate him because the rest of the football world is just jealous of what he's been able to accomplish, and jealous may be too harsh of a term, but very envious, Josh, of what he's been able to accomplish, and not just accomplish, but sustain that success for 20 years. I mean, it's just been remarkable to watch him kind of coach and to do his thing up in New England, and we all wish, you know, we were there. We all wish we were, rooting for his team every week, right?
I wish the NFL 100 took up too much of his time and took him away from coaching.
I do, too. But clearly, he went, this is going to take time. It's going to take me away. How can I best utilize this to benefit me? And he did, and he did.
Chiefs back at it, practicing today, unlike a normal, quote-unquote normal Tuesday, coming off the bye week. They're back to Arrowhead's practice facility today. We spoke with Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, earlier in the show. His stretch run hopes.
I think they can go 4-1 to end the season. I'm a little bit concerned about the two away games. Even though they haven't played well at home, I think down this stretch, coming off a bye, playing the AFC West opponents, and playing them at home again. I can't imagine them having any kind of stumble at home. But at Chicago, in the cold, at Foxborough, just because it's the Patriots and it's cold.
And they cheat.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah, and they cheat. One of those games is going to be, you know, I'm concerned about. I don't know which one yet, but I am concerned about one of those. And I think they can make a 4-1 run and solidify a solid spot in the playoffs.
A solid spot in the playoffs. I think after last night, can I firmly cross off the two seed? I can. I really can.
Are you writing off you're not writing off the Patriots? You think they're okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think they get the 4 losses. That would include Chiefs beating them,
right,
and sweeping and beating them. I don't think they get the 4 losses, and I don't think the Ravens get the 5.
I don't think the Ravens are getting the 5.
If I have the Chiefs losing at Foxborough.
The Ravens could conceivably still get the 1 seed, though. I mean, if the Chiefs take care of business, but then you're only kind of spiting yourself. If you know?
Yeah. Pick your poison at that point in time.
Yeah, the 1 and 2 seeds this year are going to be, like last year, the 1 and 2 seeds with the Chiefs and the Patriots, man. You're looking at it this year with the Patriots and Ravens potentially being your 1 and 2 seeds. You don't want to face either of those teams because I don't think many people stand a chance against those teams. I'm also kind of tired of hearing about how New England doesn't have an offense and they're not scoring enough points. When you got a defense that can hold the number one offense in the NFL to 0 touchdowns and 9 points and not allow Amari Cooper to have a catch, that's pretty good.
I mean,
what do you need?
I just count on them figuring it out. I don't.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah, they usually just find a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. There's a way, right?
I mean, has there truly been one time where you're like, you know what, that got him. That deficiency got him. No, they always figure it out.
Yeah.
I expect them to figure it out again.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have the household name. They're gonna do enough on offense to be very dangerous, and they're very, very good on defense.
Sony Michel is going to be their key down the stretch.
They may do it a different way than we've seen them do it, but they'll just find a different way to win.
Right.
I mean, I'm not.
That's exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
I'm not finding any weakness in that. There's nothing that I've seen from them that gives me solace and goes, well, that'll just drift off.
Yeah.
Not happening. Big finish. Oh, were KU fans annoyed last night by Bill Walton?
The men have arrived. This Kansas team, oh my gosh, they are like a volcano. They are like a waterfall that just goes right over everything. They are like a breaching whale that just jumps across your screen at indiscriminate touch. What's your name again?
Let's get to the player that we want to talk about here.
The waterfalls that just keep coming down. They have no chance against Udoka, one of my favorite players in all of the land.
So Bill Walton's calling the game last night. I don't know if it got better throughout the game, but certainly at the start of the game, oh my goodness, the meltdown was on. What is Bill Walton doing? What is Bill Walton on?
Tano on the dribble, handoff. Asabuki went straight up that time. Silvio.
He takes an otherwise boring product and makes it exciting for me. And Bill Walton is not there for the hardcore basketball fan. Bill Walton is there for the guy like me that you're trying to get into your game, that's going to bring an entertainment aspect, that's going to bring fun, that's going to bring something different, that's not going to bog you down with stats and nerd stuff and conversation that's over the head of the average fan. Bill Walton brings you in as a casual fan, and he's an ambassador more for the sport. He's a Dick Vitale. He's a John Madden. He's kind of a crazy guy that can help capture people that may not be interested otherwise in that particular event. And as I've said, I've kind of fallen out of love with college basketball, but Bill Walton's calling a game. Chances are I'm going to put that on for a little bit to see what's going on, to hear Bill Walton, because I find him to be very entertaining.
It was a 30-point win over Chaminade.
Yeah, and that's what sports is about.
Didn't you need a little something?
Not for KU fans. That's what's supposed to happen.
A little something to get you through that one?
That's what's supposed to happen. That's a day at the office for KU fans. We don't need Bill Walton mucking this all up.
4 balls, you get to first.
Yep.
3 strikes, you're out.
That's right.
Take me out to the ball game.
Yes.
I don't care if I never come back. That was his look at me.
Bill Walton called that Angels-White Sox game.
Yeah.
I love Bill Walton. I think it's funny. I can take him doses. I'm with you. I'd rather have Jay Billis calling a game if I want to entertain the or take in the basketball of the whole thing.
Sure, if you want that kind of stuff, like for a tournament game or something, but in a November game,
30-point
against Chaminade?
Chaminade, where it's going to be a no doubt about it. I'll take a little Bill Walton to entertain
Give me something
me.
Entertaining, man. Give me something exciting. Bill Walton does that. He's funny, makes me laugh, and that's what sports ultimately is. It's entertainment, and people forget that.
John Sherman, new Royals owner. That's coming up at noon, live on 610 Sports Radio. Bink is next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.